So when we were talking about this before we came over, we're like, okay, so DB and your export goals are kind of your U2, Coldplay. Everybody's heard of them. Everybody like has a favorite. And then you move down a step, and you've got your Max and your Monteiths, which are kind of Snow Patrol is what we decided,
we said
wasn't
Snow
it?
Patrol, yeah.
Who people
pretend
who,
to be more indie than they are.
Than they
than
actually
really,
are. And then you go down the next level, and you've got your Emersons, your Three Boys,
and those are your genuinely indie bands,
yeah.
Was the theory.
So the Florence and
the
Machine. Florence and the Machine.
Yeah, yeah.
At least start indie, and then maybe sign a record deal and make millions, but let's have a little more cred.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was like, well...
So does that make us the mob that end up languishing at the bottom
well,
and then dying of a heroin overdose?
Proper punk. Proper punk. But it's more than that. You guys are kind of like one of those musicians who kind of constantly reinventing themselves, not listening to the fans, but just kind of, I thought of this last night. What do you think of that? And some people hate that album. But for other people, that'll be the favourite one. And you guys are just doing stuff which you enjoy.
Yeah.
So which is great.
That's very flattering.
Slightly more punk than maybe even BrewDog. You know, BrewDog at the end of the day did the same trick. They sat down in the back room and decided they would make this, and they launched it.
Yeah.
And they called it punk. You guys are actually kind of punk brewing.
And it's the kind of thing where if you're...
Or even garage band. I mean, do you know, you know, it's...
Well, how the hell did we stumble upon that analogy? That works, yes.
And in one sense, if you're not there in the night, then you've got no way of experiencing
it.
Yes.
You've got to be there, you know, and be able to say, you know, I was there when they played.
So you fight over the difference between the beer on tap and the beer in a bottle is like seeing them live and having the CD.
I like this.
You guys,
this could go on.
There's no CD. There is no CD. You're not on YouTube. There's nowhere. You see them live or not at all.
We need a bootleg
until
tape.
You get some cans.
I think the thing for us really is just, you know, we definitely spent a lot of time you know, working how we can actually get this thing off the ground, and especially chatting when Pete was working ridiculous hours in Sydney and not even in the country. But whenever we got together, we were more interested in talking about, you know, what we could do and what's exciting than really trying to dissect and analyse the markets. And,
do what you want to do.
Yeah, just actually focus on making
and find a way to make it work rather than find a way to make something work and try and keep it vaguely within what you want to do. The priorities are the right way around.
And God forbid deciding your market and then making a liquid to fill that gap. Like,
I
find that awful.
I could be bothered.
So
where does the... You've been a brewer for a long time. Well, a long time.
Oh, nine years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm sitting here with someone who's...
You know, I'm feeling it.
You've gone grey before
be.
Your time. Yeah,
that's right.
So are you more than anything the beer geek of the three? You weren't a home brewer. You weren't a.
I have a completely different background, digital background.
Right.
Which was I come from the games industry.
Yeah.
Film, digital games. And
so beer drinker.
Beer drinker.
Part of that overlap between computer geek and beer geek.
Yeah, and with my last job, my last career really now, was really taking me overseas a lot. So up to the States 5, 6, 7, 8 times a year, Europe and all over the place, and really just got to see the craft scene growing and booming in the States.
Right.
Got introduced to a lot of really tasty beers, and then also seeing the scene grow here and getting sort of swept into it.
Yeah.
So no, I wasn't a home brewer.
Right.
This is my first brewing.
You brewed on that kit? Was your first thing?
Well, I think, you know, helping Pete
at
the hops and stuff. I don't know if we'd call it brewing.
I did. I recently restarted home brewing. My flatmate is really good. The beer is always available at my house for free, so that probably colours my opinion of it. But he's got an all-grain kit, and I recently helped him out. I called myself, together with another friend, we called both of us the co-second assistant. There was no first assistant, because we were both too useless to be called first assistant. But I was amazed by just how enjoyable it can be. Like, it's not...
It's
the biggest stress in your life.
It's been a great experience doing this. I mean... you know, I quit a pretty, you know, very well-paying job, and really just through the course of setting up the brewery, you know, I was doing it at nights and working on it on weekends, and I just got to the point where I really want to be doing this as much as possible.
Have you been in the brewery for each of the beers so far?
Not each of the beers.
A lot of them, no?
A lot of them.
Yeah.
You know,
are you tempted to do one with the roles reversed?
Well, I...
you almost could now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see.
This is what I'm trying to lead up to in my own garage. Our brew kit at home is in the garage, so it's kind of, you know, same kind of